Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, happy Freedom Friday to everybody out there. Great to be with you here this morning on Montana Talks. We are broadcasting live from Northwest Parts and Equipment here in Columbia Falls, Montana. Another great morning to be in the Flathead. Of course, what morning is not a great morning to be in the Flathead Valley? We got Eric Maldonado in the house with us, sidekicking with us here for Freedom Friday in the 7 o'clock hour, and then coming up at 8. That's when all of our friends from KJJR and the Flathead will join us, and we'll have open microphones starting then. But, Eric, it's always great to see you.
It's really. So what I'm going to say is good coffee morning.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was running a little bit late. I thought I would grab a quick cup of coffee, and then that wasn't as quick of a cup of coffee as I thought it would be. But that's right. It's a good cup of coffee. That's what matters.
That's all that matters. We've got good coffee makers in this valley.
Did that Copper Mountain Coffee place, did they shut down? I tried to pull in there, and I was like, wait a minute, maybe I pulled into the wrong spot here.
I don't think so. I don't know of any of the coffee.
I probably pulled into the wrong location because I didn't have my coffee yet, and I was trying to hurry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And like I said this morning, I said, what are we going to talk about? There's nothing really going on in the world.
It's just a quiet Friday.
Quiet Friday.
Sleepy Friday.
Yeah, no hurricanes. Nobody's running for president, governor. You know, Senate, Congress. You know,
this Soviet-style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson, they officially adjourned yesterday. It used to be that, okay, there'd be crazy stuff going on in Washington, but at least here in Montana, you know, we'd have Democrats and Republicans, and we'd have our disagreements, but at least there were normal disagreements. These are not normal disagreements anymore. The left in Montana, the Montana Democrat Party, is so crazy. They are just as wacko as the California Democrats. They are just as wacko as these Soviet-style show trials against Donald J. Trump, and they're pulling the same shenanigans here against our elected officials.
Well, they really run lockstep no matter where they are, not just in our country. I mean, the liberal idea, socialism, it's in lockstep. You know, Republicans... we take a lot longer to get things done because, frankly, we don't all agree on how things need to get done. They take those socialist viewpoints and they run with them, and that's why you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a liberal in Montana and a liberal in California or Oregon or wherever. They all believe and think exactly the same way, regardless of whether they're proven wrong or not.
Well, and the thing is like, okay, you're old school Farmers Union Democrat, although now the Farmers Union leadership is so far left, you know, covering for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, that you can't even call them old school Farmers Union because the current Farmers Union leadership is just a front for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester. But you're old school, you know, Democrat in eastern Montana, those type of people would never be allowed to run for office as Democrats in the modern day Democrat Party because the modern day Democrat Party does not share the same values and beliefs that you do. They'll pretend, they'll come out to you, and some of you will still vote for them, but there's no comparison. This is the California Democrat Party in Montana.
And track the money, follow the money, and guess where they're going to be coming from? It's going to be coming from California. It's going to be coming from Las Vegas. It's going to be coming from these places. The money that's coming into this state is more than we've ever seen for any other races.
All right, hold that thought. Quick break. More with Eric Maldonado, Freedom Friday from the Flathead.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was the summer of 2023, and Republican Texas Representative Chip Roy went to the House floor asking colleagues to name a single accomplishment which Republicans achieved while holding the majority. Fellow Republicans winced, but many political observers admired Roy's candor. The election is a few weeks away. Lawmakers are now home campaigning, and people are asking what Republicans accomplished in the House during this Congress. Some conservatives are upset that they never marshaled extra security measures for the border in exchange for aid to Ukraine. And the biggest problem House Republicans had was infighting, punctuated by its razor-thin majority. House Republicans impeached Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas after an initial stumble, but the 118th Congress will best be known for this accomplishment, starting the Congress with the longest speaker race since the 1850s, and then removing former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy a few months later. That was a first. House Speaker Mike Johnson then weathered another storm later from Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene to remove him. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay around the lower 70s. For tonight, staying clear to partly cloudy, temperatures falling off into the mid-40s to upper 40s. And then on Saturday, more sunshine on the way with a high temperature of around 70. Staying clear and quiet Saturday night with lows in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
From the Soviet-style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson to the latest New York Times polling showing Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy with a big lead over Liberal Senator John Tester, we covered it all. Thursday morning, man, if you missed even a second of the show, you missed out. Thankfully, all of our Montana Talks show audio goes to our Montana Talks podcast. You can find it on Spotify, or better yet, download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Then you'll get our headlines as well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
All right, Eric Maldonado, great to have you here. Are you hearing me better in your headset?
Yes, absolutely.
Now? Okay, I can crank it up or turn it down. And yeah, Travis, thanks for letting us know how our microphone levels are sounding back there on your end. Keep those updates coming, especially in the 8 o'clock hour, because we're going to have... Eric, in fact, I sometimes before I come and do a show on the road, I'll invite, you know, a couple, three folks. Hey, come down and join us. But we put a promo on the radio here in KJGR and say, come down and join us for the show. The place is packed. So I'm like, I told Frank Mealy I was going to be here. But other than that, we put a promo on KJGR. And I didn't invite, you know, anybody specific, because what ends up happening is we get a ton of people that join us.
And you always get nervous. You're like, Eric might have to join me in the 9 o'clock hour. I don't know. I didn't invite anybody. And then by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, there's 30 people standing out here. And some of them are actually trying to talk to you while you're on the air.
I know. And so, like, I'm almost thinking, like, hey, even if one of these days we just won't even tell anybody that we're coming to do the show from the flat.
Announce it on air.
And it'll just be you and me here hanging out. And but, yeah, we could literally announce it that morning and all of a sudden pick up and start peeling into the parking lot and everything. But one thing I'm going to do this hour of the show, I'm sneaking him on here at 7:40 because I know we're probably just going to be overwhelmed with folks joining us in person here from 8 to 10. Kyle Schmock, who's a Flathead Montana guy, he works for the Senate Majority Leadership in the state legislature, but he's been following this Soviet-style show trial going after our great Attorney General, Austin Knutson. And so he's going to join us at 7:40 to give us an update on day two of that Soviet-style show trial. But State Senator Greg Hertz gave his official response yesterday after, you know, this show trial officially wrapped up. So I'll share that here in just a few minutes. But you and I were kind of talking off air how you look at all the money that's being spent in Montana right now to influence people politically, and then you see this Soviet-style show trial, the bias in the Montana media by and large, you know, except for talk radio being the exception, where it's a true free platform for all opinions to be heard. And it's people just aren't buying it anymore. Like, these political campaign commercials still have to have some basis in truth for them to be believable. And nobody's buying the Adam Schiff that John Tester and the Democrats are throwing out there anymore.
Well, thank God for Elon Musk and X and Truth Social. And now even with the eyes being really bright on Facebook, and Zuckerberg doesn't want to get any more trouble. He's starting to let some things get through. And so with the social media, it takes 2 seconds. I mean, you type in did Tester vote for illegal immigration, and you can go to any one of these things and pull up videos of him doing that. So him saying that he's been fighting for Montana goes nowhere. You know, or, you know, and we just had this conversation about abortion. You know, everything is just, I don't have anything left to say. So Tim Sheehy's going to he's going to end abortion. And, you know, granted, you know my position. Great. You know, that's not a bad thing.
I was going to say, a lot of Montana voters, they hear that, and it makes them want to vote for Tim Sheehy even more.
But there are some that still that believe in early-term abortion. And, you know, everybody has that right to their opinion. But, you know, like I was telling you before, some people actually, it hurts their overall thought of somebody. And I think that's what Tester's really doing with his buys, is he's trying to appeal to those emotional people that know overall we need a change in Washington. Tester's not it. Harris isn't it. Those people got to go because of Tillis.
What I think is interesting, too, is I think Tester thinks that abortion is his only ace card that he can play here with less than 30 days to go until the election. And he's trying to gin up his base and everything like that. But I think most Montanans, they realize, look, the biggest issues are the border and the economy right now. And Tim Sheehy nor John Tester are going to decide the fate or the future of abortion policy in the United States at this point. And so, but what John Tester has done by doubling down with his radical view on abortion, he's no limits abortion all the way up until the due date, basically, is the policies that he's effectively endorsed. I think by doing that, by telling people how radical on abortion he is, it reminds people how radical he is on everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
On immigration, allowing the open borders, on energy policy. I mean, 700 laid off Stillwater miners. John Tester is still playing political games with these laid off miners, even after they just lost their jobs as a result of his Green New Deal policies that he supported here, as their soft on Russia policies from the Biden-Harris administration. That's why these 700 miners lost their jobs. And yet John Tester is still playing political games and not doing squat to help these men and women find new jobs in Montana.
Well, I don't know how any kind of liberal idea works in Montana. We are an industry-based state. I mean, you got logging, you got mining, you've got farm. They're attacking farmers. I mean, you name the industry. I don't care if you're raising cattle. I don't care. If there is anything in this industry-based state that you're doing and you pull the trigger for Tester, you are literally killing your business.
Yeah.
You get more of this, you know, I would call it what it is. Almost it's communism-style Washington belief system. They'll round us all up and put us in cities. And I know it sounds crazy, but they don't want us living out here in the country.
That's the Great Reset. The Great Reset is. And we saw it especially on steroids during COVID-19. They want to move you off the land, especially if you live out in the countryside, if you're one of those ranchers in central or eastern Montana. That's why John Tester and his hand-picked Bureau of Land Management director are constantly giving political favors to the American Prairie Reserve, the APR, which is basically foreign billionaires like Hans Wiese coming in and trying to buy out these ranches so they can turn it into their liberal playground. And that's why I think that the Democrats keep attacking Tim Sheehy's ranch.
You know, I didn't know Sheehy only moved here a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, this rich out-of-stater that just moved here a year ago. I don't know how he even got on the ballot doing that, you know. I hear he owns some nuclear waste he doesn't employ anybody, he owns a nuclear waste disposal thing outside of Bozeman.
You have been getting pummeled with a lot of things.
I don't know exactly what's going on.
Democracy 24.
Delivering dueling speeches in key battleground states, Vice President Harris and former President Trump offered contrasting visions for the U.S. economy. Harris repeated a slew of promises she says will ease the burden of inflation on American families, like expanding the child tax credit, offering down payment assistance to first-time homebuyers, and going after companies for price gouging. She's also refuting attacks from Trump and other Republicans who call her a socialist.
I'm a capitalist. I believe in free and fair markets.
The former president, on the other hand, says he plans to cut taxes, lower energy costs, and hit foreign companies importing cars and other goods into the U.S. with massive tariffs.
Kamala goes to work every day in the White House. Families are suffering now. So if she has a plan, she should stop grandstanding and do it.
In Washington, Grady Trimble, Fox Business.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay around the lower 70s. For tonight, staying clear to partly cloudy, temperatures falling off into the mid-40s to upper 40s. And then on Saturday, more sunshine on the way with a high temperature of around 70. staying clear and quiet Saturday night with lows in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Friday's Montana Talks, we're taking the show back out on the road. We'll be broadcasting live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls, Montana, Friday morning. Then after that, man, we're going to be doing a lunch event at Two Brothers Cafe in Kalispell. I'll head over to Libby and Eureka for events on Saturday. Full rundown of our travel, MontanaTalks.com. But yeah, Montana Talks live with open microphones from Columbia Falls, Friday morning. Statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Back-to-back hurricanes in the southern U.S. are taking a tremendous toll on everyone involved. One of the few places that likely won't feel as big of an impact is the price of gas and diesel. Patrick DeHaan of Gas Buddy says, Milton, the latest hurricane likely won't have a big impact at the pump.
Well, thankfully, the path of the storm is not one that would be over refineries or any other critical infrastructure when it comes to gasoline supply. So flow of gasoline is going to continue. This storm is not going to affect any refineries in any meaningful way. So the flow of gasoline, the supply of gasoline should continue. And so most Americans probably will not see any impact from this in terms of supply. Prices, however, have started to inch up, but it's not due to the storm itself. It's due to the fact that oil prices last week did climb about $10 a barrel on some of the tensions that are occurring in the Middle East. So Milton, for its part, is not going to be any impact on gasoline prices, but rather the Middle East tensions from last week are likely to play a role in pushing gas prices up.
As of yesterday, regular gas prices are $3.23 a gallon, down from $3.99 a year ago, while diesel's priced at $3.61. That's down from $4.65 a year ago and $3.70 a month ago. I'm Wayne Northland. Have a great day.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, Eric Maldonado here. I'm laughing because I was like, I'm surprised you haven't said anything about my Team Trump vest that I've got here. And he had a great line. He's like, you know what they say, if you don't have enough for the rest of the class. But we got donuts, though. Don't worry. We got plenty of donuts here.
That is not the same. You're actually a little smaller than I am. I was going to say you could just leave that, order yourself another one, and I would just take that off
your head and trim. I'll have to see if I can hook a brother up. I had to really work my circles to get a hold of this one here.
I was going to wear it today, but, you know, I got to wear the station stuff. So I do have a 2024 Outlaw Hillbilly hat.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get into some serious news of the day here. We're broadcasting live from Columbia Falls here, Northwest Parts and Equipment. What a great crew. Boxes of donuts.
Chris just loaded us up.
Man, she's always great. That's part of the fun coming here every year now. What if 4 or 5 years we've been doing the show from here in October.
What a great place. And, you know, Chris is walking by. So what a great gal. She's awesome. Loading us up. And we're hoping to get her on in a little while, talk about everything.
Yeah, they had their big, and then the Krispy Kreme guys here even gave us, wow, we've got like free gift cards to give out here for our Flathead listeners.
Yeah, come on down, people, and get that.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, serious news of the day. First, let me start with this one. Montana Senator Steve Daines has a guest opinion column in the Ravalli Republic. When I first caught my eye, I was able to read the guest opinion column, but now every time I try to go back into it, I get stuck behind the paywall. So it's like, but here's the quote that I did share before I got blocked by the paywall here. Senator Daines saying this about basically Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester. He mentioned all three of them and how they're not just their anti-American energy policy, but how their anti-American mining policy is already costing jobs here in Montana. He went after the fact that Biden and Harris and Tester, too, are going soft on the Russians and allowing Russian imports of palladium that's impacted palladium prices here in America. And then we've had 700 Stillwater miners get laid off and lose their jobs. But then on top of that, it's the Green New Deal energy policies and the EV mandates out of Biden-Harris and Tester that also led to the loss of these 700 jobs. Senator Steve Daines said, quote, this leave it in the ground philosophy puts Montana miners last, and Montanans know why. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will do whatever it takes to appease the far-left radicals in their party.
If you look at some, I'm glad you brought that Green New Deal up. I want people to really think really hard about this. We just had a hurricane hit North Carolina and East Tennessee, and the same government now that tells you that we want to tax you to save the planet using the Green New Deal, and that if you give them their money, they will solve this issue. They could not respond and did not know how to respond to a hurricane in North Carolina where people were starving. It took them 4 days to put something together that the locals had put together in 1 day. In 1 day, that chopper organization had 75 choppers flying like 400 flights per day. And the federal government couldn't figure out how to get it together. And I'm not even an emergency management person, but I'll bet you I can get 90% of it right. A hurricane happens, what do you need? You need to be able to get to the people that get hurt. So what do? You fly in helicopters. I know that. Well, then what do they need? Well, they need electricity. They need power and they need heat. But if the roads are wiped out, you got to build the roads. Okay, so you send people in to rebuild the roads. Then right behind them, you put the linemen.
If you're overwhelmed, then admit you're overwhelmed and stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Your job is to help coordinate the resources, not to get in the way of the resources. But there was Joe Biden suntanning on the beach. Kamala Harris was taping her Mild Sex Show podcast with the Call Her Daddy podcast. And then she's giggling. Oh, the last time I had a beer was with Doug at the baseball game. Oh. And it's just like, what are you people doing?
Yeah.
A local story of note here. This one, I think I mentioned this one to you during the break here. KBZK Television, they have a story here. Bozeman Police Department speaks to safety concerns with downtown bars. Now, Eric, I've been trying to be nice to a lot of these TV reporters in particular, because a lot of them are like 20-year-old kids that just got out of college. They moved here from wherever. It's their first job in TV. They're trying to get the first ticket out of here to their next big TV job. And so they don't know what they don't know. Some of them are just trying to do the best job they can. So sometimes I'll reach out to these TV reporters and be like, hey, did you think to ask this question? Or, hey, maybe reach out to so-and-so. Or, hey, here's an angle that you might also want to look at. And I've done that a few times now, and it's like they don't care. They don't care. But with this story in particular, it's like, okay, so Bozeman Police Department speaks to safety concerns with downtown bars. Nowhere in this story does it mention the problems with migrants at downtown bars. Stabbing people. Now there's a migrant behind bars as a rape suspect.
That's weird, because I thought when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was like a teenage girl cheerleading gang.
If you missed it, so what, 2 days ago, I talked about this on the radio. So the Immigrant Crimes account on X, Twitter as some know it, they're the ones that first flagged this for me. They sent out a tweet saying, hey, we've got a story from a local TV station about a rape suspect behind bars involving a Bozeman area bar. But it doesn't mention the person's name or all these other things, but it seems to line up with this guy who is listed on the Gallatin County Jail roster, who is currently on an immigration hold for ICE. Oftentimes, if they are on an immigration hold for ICE, that means they're an illegal alien. Not every time, but oftentimes it means that's an illegal alien behind bars. And it's pretty obvious that the left-leaning folks in Bozeman are kind of making sure that you have to go through hoops to figure out whether this person is an illegal or not. You know, you got to, and look, somebody call the Justice Department or call the Justice Board, et cetera, to get the clear answer here. But either way, you have a person on an immigration hold who allegedly raped a woman after taking her home from a bar in Bozeman. But they make it sound like, oh, yeah, we've just got safety concerns with downtown bars in Bozeman. And when you read this TV report, and it's like, well, we had an illegal alien stab somebody And it led to this huge incident and practically a hostage standoff almost. And then now a migrant rape suspect. So, but the way they write this headline and the way they write this story, you'd think, oh, it's those dang college kids causing problems.
Well, you know, there's an editor in every newsroom everywhere. And if it has to do with a migrant, you'll know because you don't know.
It's what they don't report.
Always look at what they don't tell you. You know, if it's a white male assassin, it's always, you know, Corey, middle name, last name, you know?
Yeah.
But if they tell you God forbid, somebody takes a shot at Trump and they're like a 32-year-old unknown male takes a pot shot at
See here, folks.
Yeah, that's weird. They don't know anything about this guy. And, that person's probably an illegal immigrant.
Yeah. If they do backflips to not report certain details of the story, that's probably what the story is.
Here. Exactly. And the story is usually what the story is not being told.
And yet these same TV stations will do backflips to attack Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. They will run false fact checks where they get their own facts wrong. They will do backflips to attack Tim Sheehy. And I think part of the reason why they are deliberately not connecting these safety concerns with the influx of illegal aliens and the drug cartels in the Gallatin Valley is because they know it's a key vulnerability for John Tester, and they're helping John Tester, so they don't want to talk about the illegal aliens being accused of these crimes.
You can't do your job if you're trying to get somebody lucky.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, man, the polling, despite the fake news media, Tim Sheehy up 8 points over John Tester, according to the New York freaking Times. Yeah, he's got his fingers crossed here. All right, back right after this. We're going to talk with Kyle Schmock as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Kyle Schmock with us here once again from Helena. And Kyle, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate you joining us on the phone line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Kyle Schmock has been sitting in on, day one, you called into the show yesterday. You listened into the live stream of this Soviet-style show trial that's being used against Attorney General Austin Knutson just 3 weeks before the election, where he's running for re-election. Day two, you sat actually in the hearing room as this all took place. I've got Eric Maldonado here with me in Columbia Falls today as well, so he'll mix it up with us. But Kyle, give us your take. You also serve the Senate majority leadership in the legislature in Helena, so you've been closely following this whole storyline since day one. But what was your reaction to day two?
Aaron, you're not a little bit on my end. Okay, or not.
You know what? You're right. Our cell phone connection here, I'm looking. I've got half a bar. Here, I'll tell you what, Kyle, I'm gonna message Kyle. Yeah, the Eric Maldonado, the cell phone connection, just I think it's because we're inside and it's early morning here.
Yeah, we might be able to switch you over to a Wi-Fi signal on your phone.
That's what I'm going to do. Kyle, I'm gonna call Kyle back here in just a second to get him on. So, yeah, Kyle, stand by for a second. Maybe see if I video call him. Let's see. Yeah, Eric Maldonado, kind of give us your take on day two of the Soviet-style show trial while I get Kyle back on the line with us here.
Well, you know, first of all, what's the difference between what they're trying to do to Austin Knutson with what they're doing to Trump? I mean, basically, you're affecting a political stance on a person, and you're trying to make him out to be some kind of horrible person and making it up, and then he doesn't get to defend himself. All you hear is, okay, well, he did all these things, and now people are like, oh, do I want to even vote for him? And it's the same thing you're doing with Trump. I mean, people don't need to know what all it is the bad news, and they're like, oof, maybe we shouldn't vote for him.
That's what they're trying to do is raise this question. Yeah,
and it doesn't really matter what it is he's done. It really doesn't. It's just that he's a criminal now. That's how people want to see it. He's done this. He's done that. He's done nothing. And guess what? When it's all over with, he'll get I'm sorry, we got that wrong. And that's it.
Well, and I think the big one here, too, and this is what Kyle will be able to talk to us about, the big one here as well is the fact that basically repeatedly, just like the political persecution of Donald J. Trump, remember when that New York judge refused to allow Donald Trump to defend himself? And, nope, I'm not going to allow that evidence. No, I'm not going to allow you to make that argument. It sounds like that is the same pattern that took place over the last 2 days, where this Democrat donor who was the special counsel leading this political persecution against Austin Knutson, nope, we're not going to allow you to present that evidence. Nope, you don't get to bring up that defense. No, you don't get to bring. So this was a predetermined outcome. They're simply trying to interfere in the election and undermine, really, the guy who is the most effective attorney general in the country right now.
It actually brings to light something more Montanans, more Americans need to be aware of. The law is so important. We overlook our judges. We overlook our Supreme Court judges. We need to make sure, because we have to follow the law. So what's Knutson going to have? If he was to lose this, what's his next step? Well, he has to go to appeal. If the same crooked judges are all the way up the chain, his chances of getting an appeal on something that is obviously just not even a crime.
Okay, great. I see we do have Kyle Schmock on with us now. Kyle, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you great. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah,
yes.
We got you. Yeah, and I was looking. I was perfect. Like, man, I got great Wi-Fi here. But, yeah, the cell phone bars are very, very low, despite all the federal spending on so-called infrastructure that's been taking place. I think Ukraine got all the cell phone coverage here.
What you guys were just describing, though, is exactly what I witnessed in the courtroom yesterday, right? There's no dispute among anyone about what Austin Knutson said about the court or about the proceedings. That's all in public letters. It's all in court filing, right? There's no dispute at all over what was said. What matters is why it was said. What justification, what reasons did Austin have for saying the things that he did about the court? And if you can't talk about the underlying reasons of what was going on and why he felt such strong language was necessary to represent the legislature, which, by the way, the former Speaker of the House and the chair of the Judicial Select Committee, Wendy Galton, Greg Hertz, both testified on the stand yesterday that, yes, the legislature did want the attorney general aggressively as possible pursuing this. But all the underlying evidence of what was going on, of the judicial misconduct, of the emails that were being revealed, of what was happening in the conflict, they just kept overruling and saying, nope, court already decided that was all legitimate, so we're not going to talk about it here. It's like, okay, but this is a totally separate deal. It has nothing to do with the legal validity of legislative subpoenas. That was decided in court. But whether the AG was justified in his actions and whether sanctions are merited, that's an entirely new issue that is before this commission. But they're just not going to allow anyone to talk about all of the context, all of the reasons, all of what was going on. You know, Austin Knutson wasn't saying aggressive things about the court just for fun. He had valid reasons for doing so.
He had a client to defend. And the client is we, the people in the state of Montana and the state legislature that passed these laws. And then meanwhile, you have the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, abusing their authority, abusing their power. But don't you dare question their rulings. They want to rule however they want. But if you dare question their rulings, that's what this fundamentally comes down to, right, Kyle, is that they are mad that the attorney general representing the people of Montana criticized their rulings, criticized the process also as well in some of their other actions there. And so they don't think that they should be criticized ever.
Well, and they're just embarrassed over what was revealed. I mean, direct evidence of judicial misconduct, embarrassing emails, putting things in email that shouldn't have been there. And they keep trying to put that cat back in the bag, and there's no way to do it. But refusing to let the AG defend himself by talking about what was going on, I guess, is their latest strategy, is just pretending that stuff doesn't exist and isn't valid to talk about. I mean, I know you're up in my home turf of the Flathead area today, And I'm not an attorney, never gone to law school or anything like that. My great-grandfather was a gypo logger up in that neck of the woods. So I'm not an expert on procedure and evidentiary rules and all that, but just as a layperson here, I would think that in Montana, in a trial of the state's top lawyer and top law enforcement official, we should probably have higher standards than that old stand-up comedy show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? The show where everything's made up and the points don't matter, right? Should we have higher standards than that in a trial like this? Because that's the level of defense that they're allowing the AG to have.
This what they're doing is exactly what we were talking about in Bozeman. It's what they don't say. So if they, in one case, when we talk about immigrants, if they don't tell you it's an immigrant, there's a good chance it's an immigrant. Yeah. In a court proceeding, if they say, we have all this evidence against you, and you are obviously wrong, and then say, but you can't talk about it. So then you go, well, wait a minute. If he can't say anything, then how is he supposed to defend himself, because you're not allowing him to say anything? It's exactly the same as when they leave the information. It's the information that liberals leave out is the most important information
there is. That's right. Kyle, I know we only got about a minute or so to go here, and then I've got the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation after the break. But so we thought this thing might have gone 3 days. They wrapped up yesterday. They officially adjourned yesterday, right? What's next?
They said that they're going to wait for the court reporters to get the transcript done from the trial, which sounds like may take a week. And then they said that they're going to review all this and make their decision on what to recommend to the Montana Supreme Court as fast as they can.
Yeah. So
Yeah, they very well may try to move that fast, and that's really the next step in the process here. Is if the commission decides to recommend any serious sanctions against the Attorney General, right? A public dressing down, an admonishment in front of the Supreme Court, or more seriously, a suspension or complete revocation of his law license, which would then make him ineligible to hold the office of Attorney General.
Yeah, they're not going to remove him from the office.
Right, and they have the constitutional power to do so, regardless of what happens with the election here coming up.
What a sham. What an outright sham. If there's a blessing in disguise that comes from this nonsense, one, I think it's that A.G. Knutson is going to do even better with the people of Montana, who are going to who are just going to push back against these elitist snobs in Helena that are waging this assault on, you know, the foundations of this country, frankly. And then on top of that, like, this entire system obviously needs to be thrown out, with them having this much power over any lawyer in Montana. It's absurd. Kyle Schmock, thanks for your time. Appreciate you calling in here early this morning.
Absolutely, Aaron. Good to talk to you.
This is the sound of your ride home with Dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
Fox News commentary.
As another major hurricane slams the coast, Kamala Harris is prancing around late night shows. Tone deaf is an understatement. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts commercial-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Dana Perino, Kennedy, Ben Domenech, the Duffys, and many more. Subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Folks in the southeast have not yet recovered from Hurricane Helene, and now they're bracing for the full impact of Milton. But as for our vice president, she is fully occupied with her media tour. While I understand it's campaign season and she has a lot of press to make up for, I'm not sure cheersing beers with late night hosts or yucking it up on a Caller Daddy podcast is the best look for a candidate or a sitting vice president during such a devastating time for so many Americans. Whoever on her campaign or communications team that decided this was the week for a podcast and comedy show media blitz should probably be fired. She not only comes across as totally tone deaf and unserious, but also completely incompetent and unable to meet the moment. If this is how her campaign or communications team plans to win, well, they're way off track. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute. Walter Cronkite was a great guy. If you ever got the chance to watch him on the TV news in his heyday, he's said to be the most trusted man in America in those days. There was power in his words in more ways than you might think, because the decision on what to report and what to ignore is perhaps the most influential and impactful than one is reported. That rings true for business and economic stories. What the economy does, provide livelihoods that pay for the lifestyles we enjoy, is not really news, is it? Better to report on the twists and turns in the economy that cause pain, such as layoffs and closures, or reporting on gasoline prices as they rise and forgetting about when they fall. And speaking of prices, our attention when prices go up, as they have for housing across the state, is on the people who pay. But high prices translate into high revenue for sellers, yes? The push of development into farmland in places like Gallatin County has enriched those who have sold at higher prices. I'm Patrick Barkley.
Brought to you by the...
Visit northwesternenergy.com/heat.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
Well, it's here, the moment we've been waiting for. Mail-in ballots are being sent, and by this time next week, many of you will have made your choices in the 2024 general election. While all of the races are important, I'm watching six races in particular. The first three are all proposed amendments to the Montana Constitution. All of them are being funded with out-of-state dollars. All of them seek to change the culture of Montana, and in my opinion, all of them are bad and should be rejected. The first is CI 126, a proposal to create a nonpartisan top four primary election scheme. It's being sponsored by a group of embittered moderate Republican legislators who got ousted for voting more like Democrats. CI 126 creates a system that waters down Montana's conservative majorities in the hopes that liberal candidates can sneak by. It would create a California-style open primary system with an unlimited number of candidates running without a party affiliation if they so choose. Dark money will flood the system and candidates will be elected on name ID alone. This is exactly the problem we have with our judicial races. This is a solution in search of a problem. Only one other state uses this system and they're trying to get rid of it. Let's not break what's not broken. I'm voting no on CI 126. CI 127 is also being funded by the same group of out-of-state donors. This would require that candidates must win by more than 50% of the vote. It's on the ballot to soften the threat of CI 126, which could cause three conservatives in a race to split the vote and allow a liberal to win with far less than a majority of the votes. Once again, it's a solution in search of a problem, and it's not necessary. CI 127 is trying to fix a problem caused by CI 126. I'm voting no on both. That leaves us with CI 128, the most radical pro-abortion measure ever to be on the Montana ballot. It would allow late-term abortions up to the moment of birth, would ban parental notification for a minor seeking an abortion, would allow unlicensed providers to perform abortions, and language hidden in the measure would give constitutional standing to the transgender movement. You can read a full analysis by a constitutional law professor, Rob Nadelson, on our website at montanafamily.org. CI 128 is also funded by out-of-state interests bent on changing Montana's culture. It places women at risk, and I'm voting no. In fact, I'm voting no on all of the constitutional amendments because it's a safe and prudent thing to do. When it comes to the U.S. Senate race, I'm voting for Tim Sheehy. I know John Tester personally. He was the Senate Minority Leader when I was the Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives. He's a nice guy, but his politics are closely aligned with Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, and these are not the values of a majority of Montanans. And finally, I'm tracking the two open seats on the Montana Supreme Court. Fortunately, in these cases, the choices are black and white. There's no gray area. For the Chief Justice seat, conservative Corey Swanson, the Broadwater County attorney, is facing off against liberal former federal magistrate Jeremiah Lynch, a Bill Clinton appointee. In the associate justice race, it's conservative district court judge Dan Wilson against radical liberal district court judge Kathleen Bitigeri. As a conservative, I'm voting for Swanson and Wilson. It's easy to remember. I think of Swanson and Wilson, as the two sons of Montana. In 30 days, it'll all be over. The races will be tight, and your vote is critical. If you're registered, please cast a ballot. If you're not registered, please get registered and then vote. Our country and our state hang in the balance. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for that. Yet another great update and election guide for you there as well. We're going to get to the Fox News update here at the top of the hour. We have already got some incredible folks lining up to join us here coming up in the next 2 hours of the show, broadcasting live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls. Eric Maldonado is going to stick around and join us as well.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Hurricane Milton caused death and destruction across Florida, but there's also a heavily covered feud among the politicians. President Biden saying that Donald Trump has led the onslaught of lies, talking about property being confiscated or people only eligible for $750.
Get a life, man. Help these people.
Donald Trump saying they had rescue helicopters that could have been easily reset. But instead, Kamala recorded a podcast known for its graphic content. That is Call Your Daddy. She did nothing as people struggled and drowned. But governors, mayors across the region says FEMA and the administration have done a very good job. Earlier, Vice President Harris called Florida Governor Ron DeSantis reckless for not taking her calls and selfish. DeSantis said he didn't know she had called, but it's not about you, Kamala. It's about the people of Florida. It's about saving lives at this point. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.